Well, I want to share with you about my trip to Uganda. What I'm going to share to you, with you now is going to cover a couple days because I've been traveling. I finally got a chance to slow down and talk. The trip began on Wednesday, and August 1st, 2012. Rolled out of DeKalb around 1 o'clock, got to O'Hare, International Terminal, and boarded a KLM flight all the way to Amsterdam. That was a very luxurious flight. I like KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines, and sat beside a Norwegian young man, a longboarder, and we talked and made friends. And on the other side, he was a nurse who was in her late 60s, and she got her PhD in 2005, and she was on her way to Rwanda to set up nursing schools and co-working with several universities in order to set up baccalaureate and master's degree nursing. And she and another team were going to go there. Other members of a team were going to live there for a year. And another team for a year until this system got going. But anyway, I really needed to go to this trip to Africa. I needed to participate in Jesus World Mission Command. Last time I went out anywhere was 5 years ago. I went to Kenya. And plus, they got a clinic going on here. Someday I can use my nursing skills in order to serve in their outreaches to different villages, vaccinations and treatments and whatnot. And it's a really good mission opportunity. So I have to find some place in my second half of my life to give my life to. And anyway, back to the trip. We ended up coming to Amsterdam and hung out in that Amsterdam airport for a few hours. It's very beautiful in there. It's like they have a little museum where they got 400-year-old paintings. They've got all kinds of rest areas, restaurants. It's like a very beautiful mall setting. Comfortable places to sit. There's recliners where you can just watch a video of driving through the Dutch countryside. What I like the most is the meditative room. It's where people come and pray from all religions. So I went there and wrote daily bread. And there was this one senior Iraqi woman who had cataract surgery or glaucoma surgery. And she could hardly see, and she was kind of lost, separated from her husband. And by God's grace, I could pray for her, for her eye, and I can walk with her hand in hand through the airport and get her to her husband. And it's a real blessing to do that. And I could have a Christian presence there. There were other Muslims praying, and I could go and do the Christian thing and pray. And so I made a Christian presence. And also, I got to pray with the steward there, an Anglican layperson who was taking care of the meditative room. It was very beautiful and peaceful. Everyone wants to check out these prayer rooms they got in all the international airports. Next, we got onto the flight and to go to, well, it was a KLM flight, and I had to go to Rwanda. What's the name? Kigasi? In Rwanda, and then they were going to go off to Entebbe. So we got on the flight. There was about, people getting on the flight were about 90% Caucasian. I think there were missionaries. There's a huge tradition of sending out missionaries, and there's a huge need. And so there's so many missionaries, and some of them could be like third or fourth or fifth generation farmers, Dutch farmers, and who actually are African citizens. So anyway, the plane was filled up, and it's a very luxurious flight again. Movies, great food. The only hard part is very cramped with the legs and very uncomfortable in that respect. But anyway, I got to sit next to a 14-year-old girl from New York who was going there with her parents to show their... the father was from Uganda, and they wanted to show the daughter... father's homeland. So far I was wondering, you know, this Africa trip, everyone is so afraid of Africa, everyone is so afraid of coming here, and whatever could happen. But up to this point, I was experiencing just plain luxury, other than cramped legs and uncomfortable tight seats. But the adventure began basically when we rolled into Rwanda. And so it was a 7-hour flight from Amsterdam going south, crossing the equator. And landed at the airport. And it was like, we weren't supposed to stay there for an hour, but it turned out to be an hour and a half, 2 hours. Finally, they figured out there's a fuel leak in the wing. And so it was unsafe. They were taking digital pictures, sending it to Amsterdam. Their engineers were trying to figure out what was going on. They couldn't find the source of the fuel leak. And this went on, and we were like over 3.5 hours in that plane, just sitting there on the tarmac of this Rwandan airport. And I liked it because I could journal, I could do my daily bread, I can read. And it was getting a little hot and stuffy. But eventually they canceled the flight. And so there we were, around 9:30, quarter to 10, on a Rwandan airport. And we had to empty the plane, all of our bags. We got off into the airport, passed through Rwandan customs. KLM was basically putting us up in a pretty nice hotel in the city. And so, but anyway, it was a little unsettling because now we have to wait until tomorrow evening to fly into Entebbe. And we ended up, we're going to end up missing the first day of the conference. And there's 11 of us, including Abraham Kim, the director of the ministry. So it's kind of sad, and that's respect. There's nothing we can do. We can, we could possibly, if we do get a van to take us, it's only 200 and some kilometers, but apparently going through the roads and the border crossings, it'll take 12 hours to get there. So even if we rent a car, we'll get there in the same time, worn out and in danger. In the same time, if we just wait for the plane and roll in there later on. So it sounds like we might be just waiting for the plane. And, yeah, so anyway, it's kind of a different feeling. I was making sure that I had my gold father's ring off my finger. And I was making sure I had both hands in my luggage because, I don't know, they tell you to do this if you're... they advise you to do this in these certain websites and whatnot. But anyway, everything was fine. Everyone was super friendly, and it was, you know, nothing dangerous ever happened. It's just that after 26 and a half hours of travel time, from the time I left the cab to the time I get in, I get on this van to the hotel, it's 26 and a half hours. It's kind of tough. But other than that, it's a little inconvenient. I'm in another country that, you know, all I remember is back in 94, massacres going on around here. Anyway, God has his purposes, and I trust God's sovereignty. So here I am. I'm in Dr. James Rabchuk sharing a room, and we got to talk and open up our hearts a little bit. Yeah, it was really wonderful. Tomorrow I'm going to have breakfast, get up at 8 o'clock, and I've been blessed with preparing and sharing a daily bread message, which I wrote, and I'm really happy about writing daily bread, especially when I got time to do it, which I do. So my head stopped spinning, and I'm starting to calm down and relax, and I'm about to go to sleep here. So anyway, that's day one. We're not in Uganda. We're in Rwanda. And missing the first day of the conference. What can we do? God's in control. We gotta trust God. Maybe he's protecting us from something. He's got his purposes. So anyway, thank God. May God open my eyes to see the glory of God, to see his work, and to really be of source of blessing. So tomorrow I'll share with you about day three of our little trip